Reb Chaim of Volozhin, in addition to his goyness and his tzidkus, he also had a specific talent in terms of being a master of machanach. And the master of machanach basically means, when you say that someone is a good teacher, it means that he had a special way of understanding the strengths and the weaknesses of each and every Talmud. And as a result, each Talmud would get specific instructions and guidance of how he's supposed to continue to develop and to grow and to be able to realize his fullest potential. In other words, it's not one size fits all. And that's not an easy thing to do, especially when you have quite a bit of Talmidim. And it takes someone who has a very special, a keen eye and a very special havana to understand that. So every Talmud, he knew him through and through. As they say, he was able to penetrate into the pnimius and the inside of the Talmud as if the sherish neshama of that particular Talmud, and to be madrachim every step of the way of what he should be doing in order that he should have the maximum atzlocha that is shayach for him to have. Certain Talmidim, he would say, prescribe a particular anhoga, a certain pattern of behavior, and for others just the opposite. Because again, he understood that the nature and the muhus of that particular Talmud needed that specific guidance, and so on. It was a great goyin. It was a Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhin, Reb Yoel Rogler, who wrote a famous Shalsa Tshuva Sefer. Michas Eliyahu came as a young Talmud. He came to Volozhin to learn by Reb Chaim. Now he came to Reb Chaim because he figured he's going to also learn Kabbalah. And Reb Chaim, as we know, as we go through Nefesh HaChaim and Ruach HaChaim, we see that tremendous strength of Reb Chaim was in the years of Kabbalah, certainly was the Talmud of the Goyin. The Goyin, as great as the Goyin, was in Nigla equally when it came back to Chochmas Anista, which was in Kabbalah. Reb Chaim Lamaise instructed that the menal of the yeshiva, the menal yeshiva, for example, he was the one who would distribute the various gemaras of the Talmidim. So Reb Chaim Volozhin instructed the menal of the yeshiva that he should send to the achsanya, or the dormitory room where Reb Eliyahu, that's where he lived, that's where he slept, make sure you send them, he says, half of shas, because the idea, the message was for you is you have the capability of being the same shas. So here, send them a half a shas, so we'll have enough time to learn and try to master as much as shas as possible. Chaim understood that what is the koyches of this particular Talmud, and that is what he should be learning. Reb Chaim also, Bechlau, there was a Talmud, his name was Reb Yonason Vilner. Reb Yonason Vilner happened to be a big tzaddik already at a very, very young age. His whole hanhogia, his whole davening, his demeanor, it was something which was way above the average person. And one could see that he's growing to be a tremendous tzaddik. So from time to time, Reb Chaim would basically go in and Lamaise talk to him in Yonim of Torah, Yonim of Hayra, and so on and so forth. And Reb Chaim's son-in-law, because we know Reb Chaim's son-in-law was the Netziv, but he also had another, Reb Yitzchak. Reb Chaim's son was the son-in-law, was son was Reb Yitzchak. Yitzchak's son-in-law was the Netziv. There was another son-in-law, Reb Lezer Yitzchak Fried, was Rosh Yeshiva. So when he would write a letter, he'd write about this Talmud, Reb Yonason Vilner, he'd write him L'mefursim b'Torah b'Chassidus. That would be the title, being such a special Talmud. He said, I'm writing L'mefursim b'Torah b'Chassidus. Asher Hoy Mizgoyer, but you should spend time here b'Yeshiva Akdoish of the Volozhin. So the fact is that Reb Chaim, when he recognized particular strength of Talmidim, he would appoint them to give shiurim. He would appoint them to give shiurim, although there was specific Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. Today you don't find it that way. But Reb Chaim wanted to allow Talmidim to be able to grow and to be able to bring out their fullest potential. If he saw that there were particular Talmidim who had really a talent and they would be able to give the masterful shiur, he would, matter of fact, give them the opportunity to be able to say yeshiur here and there, even though they were not officially the Rosh Yeshiva. Again, this is the koyach of Reb Chaim, his understanding, and to do whatever is possible to see that each and every Talmud should be able to develop to his maximum potential. One of the great Talmidim of Reb Chaim Volozhin was, really, one can really say, the father of the Musar movement. Now everybody knows the father of the Musar movement really is Reb Saul Salanter. But Reb Saul Salanter also had a Rebbe. Reb Saul Salanter's Rebbe was Reb Yosef Yoizel of Nevardik. That famous Nevardik, the whole shit of Musar. Reb Yosef Yoizel of Nevardik was a Talmud Muvik of Reb Chaim of Volozhin. And it's just Kedai, just interesting that Yosef Yozel, in addition to, of course, his greatness, of course, in Torah and Avodas Hashem, the tremendous, tremendous Baal Chesed. It seems that you have great tzaddikim and people who have greatness in Torah. It's not a steer to say that like it's a waste of time to be Oisik in Tzarcha HaTzibur. But these great Baal HaMusar always found the time not to isolate themselves, you know, in their own Dalet Amos, and maybe to learn an extra Blat Gemara, maybe a Blat Gemara less, but to see what I can accomplish, what I can do for society, make that kind of a contribution. He would make sure that the city, that it was all the anim, all the poor people had challahs for Shabbos, had wine for Shabbos, and so on. At first, you know, before he became noted for what he was as the great Baal Musar, but as he started out in life, he had a little business. It was a fabric business, materials, selling materials. Well, the Chofetz Chaim also had a little store, you know, with his wife. Everybody knows that the Chazon Ish also had a store, helping out his wife. All of the many, many great Gedolim, hard to understand. This is the way it was. This is the way it started out. They didn't want to be in the henna from Rabbonis. They didn't want to be in the henna from Kofar HaTorah until they were forced like into it. So, because Zayis already, in his early, early years, was a tremendous Baal Metochim. So you have this business, and many types of businesses, you know, you see today, you know, people aren't certain whether in the diamond line or in precious stones, so they travel abroad, you know, sometimes to the Far East, sometimes to Hong Kong or so on, you know, because they have shows, all the various shows, sometimes in Switzerland, wherever they go, many people here from this community as well, they travel quite a bit, simply because for the sake of their business, all different types of shows. In those days, you know, this was called, didn't call it a show, of course, in the Lashon of the stones, called a Yerid. It was a place where it's a major marketplace, a major market seed. It was seasonal. Goes back hundreds of years, the Mashiach mentions the time of the Yerid. He mentions in a specific area, the Mashiach says that I did not write Chidushim at this particular area. He says because with the season of the Yerid, and many of the Talmidim had to take advantage of making a little bit of panosa because of the Yerid. And maybe he did not learn the Sugya Barabim, he did not write Chidushim on that particular area. The Mashiach writes that. So it was a Yerid. Yerid was basically a marketplace. And the marketplace brought in people from all over the little villages, from all around. People were selling their wares, so there you'd be able to have at your disposal. It could be like a supermarket, everything that you wanted. You can have fabrics, you have goods, you have eggs, you can have cheese, you can have milk, shoes, clothes, everything. Whatever someone had, it was his profession, it was the opportunity to display it, because people would come from all over to be able to view it. So we had big potential to have a lot of buyers. Matter of fact, there's a Chuvin in the Chuvis Maharik, one of the greatest Poskim from the Italian Poskim, Yosef Kolom, writes about Chalamoid, to give a heter to open up the business in, because the, in Frankfurt, for example, Germany, it was seasonal. It was like before the summer, before the spring, and one was right before the winter, the fall season. And Chalamoid was the time of the Yerid. You know, although, right, the Ketchila, one should try to abstain from Malacha when it comes to Chalamoid, but the Marid gives a heter, because it's seasonal. If you're going to miss it now, this opportunity, it's a missed opportunity. People are waiting for the season of the Yerid to be able to earn a panosa, selling their wares, or buying whatever they had to buy at a cheap rate to be able then to sell it. So Yerid was a major opportunity for panosa, so was a panosa. And it's considered to be a double audit. It's a loss if you don't take the opportunity now. And the Marik gave a heter that one is able to engage in Chalamoid regarding the Yerid. So he also, the Yerid came to town and he needed to buy fabric to sell for his business. Yosef Zundel. And what did he do? I said the Yerid lasted for 4 days, just a marshal. Left for 4 days. So 3 days he would sit in the Beis Medrash. And on the last day, he would go to buy the schoyer that he needed. His wife would say, you wait until the last day, all the good stuff will be bought out. What are you going to find? You can find only very cheap schoyer. You're selling fabrics. The idea is to sell choshver fabrics. He said, don't worry, he said, that the panosa of a person is kesuvim loy. You know, from Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, it's all fixed. So whatever I need, he said, I'll find it on the last day also. And Mamela, so he sat 3 days, he sat in the Beis Medrash, and for the last day, he says, okay, now it's the last day. Sorry, now I have to go. So he went. He relied on the last day, and sure enough, there was nothing there to buy, only very, very cheap fabrics. So he takes it home, his wife says, see, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there was a Gewisser Lord, a squire, who came and said, I hear that you sell fabrics. What do you have? And he showed him the cheap schoyer. Oh, that's exactly what I need. And he brought a tremendous, tremendous amount. This about it. It's not for everybody to rely on that kind of a betochen. But this is the Zundel Salanta, the great Baal HaMusar. This is the way he lived his life in every aspect. So this goes back already way before he was even known, you know, to be what he was. So Zundel Salanta, Meister, became a Talmud of Reb Zundel Salanta. Yeah, just he says the Gavruche. Saul Salanter himself, at the age of 14, was a tremendous goyin already. He was a Talmud of another Gadol. His name was Tzvi Herrish Breide. Brody, C.H. Brody. And he wrote a kuntres, a chedusha Torah, at the age of 14. He wrote this kuntres, chedusha Torah, that C.H. Brody was a goyin on himself, was so in the spoil that he said, you know what, I want you, he urged him that he should send that chedush to Rebbe Eger, you know, from where they were, from Salant, you know, to Posen, where Rebbe Eger was in Posen. That was quite a distance, but Rebbe Eger, of course, was well known, and Rebbe Hirsch knew Rebbe Eger. So he told his Talmud, told him so Salant to send it. And he sends it. What happened is, after many, many weeks, they didn't hear anything from Rebbe Eger. No remark, didn't send anything back, nothing was received, they didn't receive it, nothing, nothing. Then a Yid from Salant happened to come to Posen, and he missed Rebbe Eger. And Rebbe Eger says, Shalom Aleichem, where are you from? He says, I am from Salant. So he's really from Salant. He says, I received a kuntres, a chedusha Torah. He says, goyinish and begoyinish, tremendous goyinish, from the age of 14. So the Yid asked, he says, So how come the Rav did not send back a tshuva? Say something, you like it, you enjoy it, we've been tremendous chizik. Kevi said, I'll tell you, I was very worried. I saw it's coming from Salant. And Salant is a great guy in Tzvi Hesh Broide. Why didn't he show it to him? Kevi didn't know he's a Talmud of him. Did not know that it was a Tzvi Hesh that urged him. Probably there is bad blood between the two of them, so he wants to shtech that godel, he's sending it to me. I don't want to get involved in machloikis. So this is again just the way an observation. Hagadol Yisrael is so sensitive to think that it could be ending Kriyat Sad, you know, that doesn't smell right. They just didn't get involved with it. So just to conclude the situation, that Reb Zunel Salanter was a major Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin would be regal to say, he says, Mein Zundel is a mensch. That seemed to be, I guess, a very big compliment to say that. He said, Mein Zundel is a mensch. He is really a mensch. And as many say that when Reb Chaim said what he meant to say is, Kosh Baruch created a mensch. When Kosh Baruch created a man, he had a particular kavanah in mind what man should look like, how man should behave. Unfortunately, men completely don't live up to expectations of what Kosh Baruch expected when he created man. But Kosh Baruch created man, he had a kavanah what man should be like. The Yoimeli Avdiyato says the Novi, you are my Erev, Yisrael. You are the Yid that I'm proud of. When Kosh Baruch said Nasa Odom, he meant you. So Kibyochel, the idea is of Chaim Volozhin saying, as a mensch, what do you mean as a mensch? He's a mensch, yeah, that's the kind of a mensch that Kosh Baruch meant when he created man, when he said Nasa Odom, a type of mensch that Reb Zundel Salanter, Yosef Zundel is his name, was Yosef Zundel Salanter. And so just to point out, just one quid about that, the Echaver of Yosef Zundel was a great guy in the Baal Mishkanes Yankov. Baal Mishkanes Yankov was Rav in Kalin. Famous house of Shuvah is Mishkanes Yankov, because Yankov is the brother of the guy in the Keren Oira. Keren Oira, the great sefer Mefeiros Shal HaShas, Masechta Soita has it, Masechta Zvachim has it, all over the major Masechtas on Shas, sefer Keren Oira, one of the most popular Mefeiros Shal HaShas. There were two brothers, two great goyim. You had the Keren Oira, and then you had the Mishkanes Yankov. So Zundel was a chaver of the Mishkanes Yankov, and Reb Chaim showed, interesting, Reb Chaim, it was evident Reb Chaim had an extra love for Yosef Zundel more than to others. So he says, the Talmidim didn't really know the exact time. What specifically was it? Because a lot of great Talmidim. It's not that Reb Zundel was Gvaldik, but there was a lot of great Talmidim. They couldn't figure out exactly what the Nikuda was. But the Maisa, what happened, and Reb Chaim said that a person comes over to Reb Chaim who was on before Sukkot. And he said to Reb Chaim, I think that there's a problem with the Sukkot. This Chach wasn't laid Kahalocha. Talmud came to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim, before even inspecting it, he says, it's kosher. It's kosher, I can say it, Rebbe. I'm just coming from the sukkah. I'm telling you, there's a problem with the sukkah. Reb Chaim says that it's kosher. Reb Chaim says, Reb Zundel was the one who placed the schach. If he placed the schach, then I know it's kosher. There's nothing more to ask. So again, this is just a little bit, a little bit of a glimpse, a little bit of we have here of Reb Chaim. So we go to Rabbi Sai further, and we're starting actually at the beginning of Pirkei Avos. Till now, we learned the Hagdomah. So now we're starting to actually Perek Aleph. I believe it's Daf Yud Aleph, I think, in your edition. I'm not sure. It's Perek Rishon. Perek Rishon Ruach Chaim. It starts off with the opening line. We're not going to go through the whole Mishnah. Just on the first opening words, Moshe Kibbul Torah Mesinai, we all know that, we heard that Mishnah very often, we learn that Mishnah, and maybe we say it every year, between Pesach and Shavuos. Moshe Kibbul Torah Mesinai, Moshe was the one who received the Torah from Kodesh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai, Messiah of Yeshua, and he gave it over, he transferred it to Yeshua to give it to the next generation. Fine. So Reb Chaim starts out here in Ruach Chaim. You notice it says Moshe was Mekabel Torah Mesinai, and then it says Umosro, he was Moshe who gave it over to Yeshua. It could have said, to be consistent, Moshe received the Torah from Sinai and Yeshua received it from Moshe. But yet the terminology changes. Moshe received the Torah, right? For example, it doesn't say Kosh Baruch Hu was Moshe the Torah to Moshe. It doesn't say that. He did, but that's not the Lashon. The Lashon Moshe was Mekabel. When it deals with Moshe Rabbeinu, it talks about the expression is Moshe receives the Torah. Regarding Yeshua, it says Moshe was Moshe the Torah. He could have been consistent, could have said, and Yeshua received it from Moshe. Moshe received it in the Sinai. That is the deal. That is the deal that Reb Chaim here is actually trying to point out for us. Moshe netchila by Moshe Loshen Kabbalah. Why is it by Moshe it started with a Loshen of Kabbalah, Moshe Kibbul Torah, and Yeshua Achekach, and later for Yeshua, it said Loshen Mesira. Havla Lemeimer, it could have said, either Moshe Kibbul and Yeshua Kibbul Ma Moshe, so it's Kabbalah, both is Kabbalah. Or you could have said, or you have a little name, I could have bought a master title of Moshe, but Moshe, Messiah of Yeshua. Either keep Messiah, right? Be consistent, use the Lashon of Messiah twice, or use the Lashon of Kabbalah twice. While regarding Moshe, the Lashon of Moshe was Mekabel, the Torah of Sinai, and regarding Yeshua, said no, not he was Mekabel, Moshe gave it over to him. So Reb Chaim starts out and found following. Well, Yashiv is there in order to explain the difference between Moshe's role in receiving the Torah to Yeshua's role in receiving the Torah. Apparently it's not the same, you see the Mishnah used a different Lashon. So what exactly is the Lashon that the Posik, that the Chazal wanted to emphasize? So he says, so let's be explained, he said, Mevayim HaShomru B'Sifri. Let's explain, we find Huve Barashi, well-known Rashi, right in the beginning, right in the beginning of Reish Matos Masech, which is the Parash of Nedorim. Beginning of Parshas Matos. Koran Neviim Nisnabu Bekoyom Hashem. When Neviim, who received prophecy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Lashon that they are saying, basically that they are now imparting the Lashon that they received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they say, Koyom Hashem, so is, right? So is the message of Hashem. Koyom Hashem, so is the message. Noisav Alei Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu used a different Lashon. Moshe Rabbeinu, you the different Lashon is Nabi Bizeh Hadover. This is what Hashem said. And Reb Chaim will go on to explain what is the difference. As you realize, Moshe was a Novi on the highest level. There is no Novi at the Torah itself said, called Novi Yoit Kemoshe. So Moshe was on the highest level. So it expresses itself in the way Moshe, when Moshe Rabbeinu, when he receives Nebuah and he delivers the Nebuah, he will Lashon Zeh Hadover. This is what Hashem is saying. A Novi does not say, this is what Hashem is saying. Koyom Hashem. So is what Hashem said. What is the difference? What is the difference between Stam Neviim? What is the difference that Stam Neviim, they say Koyom Hashem? And Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Zeh Hadova Shenema, as we find in the beginning of Parshas Matos, Zeh Hadova Shetziv Hashem. So Olahovin also, he said, to understand, Ma Zeh HaHisofe. This will one understand, what is the HaHisofe, Beloshin Zeh HaDovash Yisav HaMoshe. Because Rashi says, Noisav Alei HaMoshe. Every Novi can use a Loshin Koyom HaShem. Moshe has the edge. Moshe has the edge that he says, Zeh HaDovar. What is the HaHisofe? What is the added Milo, Legavi Moshe Rabbeinu? Abba Yuvon, he says, this could be understood. Al pi psukim, we have to, says Reb Chaim, refer to the psukim that deal with Nevuas Moshe, besoif perishes Baha'loischo. At the end of Parshas Baha'loischo, we all know the episode between Miriam and Aharon where they spoke against Moshe Rabbeinu. And the basic nekuda as we look there in the psukim is that the Lashon Hara, so to speak, that they spoke Miriam against Moshe Rabbeinu was the fact that he separated himself from his wife. As if to say that I am now above, I am so holy, I am in such a high level that I cannot reduce myself or lower myself to keep basically marital relations. It's beyond that. I am now living more like a malach, I'm more like in and I'm able, therefore, this is not personal, like as if to say, a person of my stature, of my holiness, therefore it's unbecoming for me to be married and live with a woman. So to that extent, right? To that extent, Miriam came, and Miriam says the following. But the Dabi Miriam Baharim Moshe. We find that Miriam and Aharon came and they spoke out against Moshe. And the Yoimer, they said to Moshe the following. They said, Moshe Rabbeinu, what is your yichus? Your yichus that you're a Navi? Are you the only Navi? Hashem speaks to us also. And we're married. So what makes you so special that you, because you are a Navi, that you went ahead and you separate yourself from your wife? By Yoimer, they said, Harak ach b'Moshe dibra Hashem. Is that only, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only speaks to Moshe? Halei gambonu dibir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke with us also. So Chaim right away picks up on the following. Harak means only, right? Harak. Rak is a mute. Ach is also a mute. Why do you have a double negative here? Harak ach. The kavana would be perfectly clear without the word ach. As he says, Baloshin ach b'moshe diber. Right? Is it only that Hashem spoke to Moshe? He says, Havalalameh meputval is another thing, he says. They should have said, Im Moshe diber. No, it's Harak im Moshe b'moshe diber. Is it only that Hashem, what's the ach here? What's the ach add? Ach doesn't add anything here. Instead of the word ach, he should have said, Im. Harak im Moshe diber. That kavana only speaks with Moshe? What's the ach? Harak ach. So that's one nekuda that Reb Chaim is bothered. Harak ach b'moshe diber. Should have said, instead of the word ach, should have said, Harak im Moshe diber. Does Hashem speak only with Moshe? Did he only speak with Moshe? That's one issue. Gam loshen, also the loshen, haloi gam bonu diber. Hashem spoke with us. The truth is, the loshen kodesh word for us is imonu. Haloi gam imonu. Bonu means like within us. If you'll notice, Imanu means with us. Bonu is more within us. For example, we say on Shabbos, right? B'yanichu boi kol Yisrael. What's the word boi? B'yanichu boi, they should rest in it. The word boi means in it. B'yanichu boi means in it. When you say the Lashon, bonu means in it or within us. What do you mean? Hashem spoke within us. Loigam imanu diber. They should say, imanu means with us. Bonu means within us. So the more proper Lashon would have been imanu. So these are the two nekudas that Reb Chaim really passes over here. When Miriam said, Harak ach b'Moshe, what's the ach? Should have said very simply, Harak im Moshe diber. Is it only with Moshe that Hashem spoke? Halei gam imanu, should have said, instead of the word bonu. Reb Pasuk Shachazen follows that further, says Reb Chaim. We find, Vayeir Hashem, Hashem was upset, of course, and Hashem descended. And Hashem comes and he comments. Vayomer, he says, Shumuno, Shumuno Devorai. He speaks to Miriam, Aharon, and Hashem is relaying a message. And Hashem is saying, Shumuno Devorai, Im Yeh Neviyachem Hashem. He says, Im Yeh Neviyachem Hashem. He says, if there are Neviim, he says, the post says, Bachaloyim Adabre Boy. In that regular Neviim, only see HaKadosh Baruch Hu or hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a dream. Loiken Abdi Moshe B'chol Beis Nemenhu. Pay Adabra Boy, because Baruch tried to say, don't compare yourself to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So again, so the Loshen is Imiyah Neviyachem. Right? So, Tumuah HaLoshen Imiyah Neviyachem, Gamal Posek HaZeh, it says, B'mare Elof Es Vadai, right? It says, B'chaloyim Adabra Boy. Elof means to him, Boy means in him. It's again a change of Loshen. Because Baruch says, when I speak to Neviyim, B'mare Elof Es Vadai B'cholim, right? I appear to them in a dream. Elov means to them or to him. And then it says, Adabre boy. Boy. And then again, as you see, a whole host, because it seems to be consistent, these questions, because further, by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Pe el pe, mouth to mouth, Adabre boy. What do you mean, Adabre boy? I speak in him. Adabre boy, so that Imoy, with him. Here again, what's the boy? Just say Imoy. The boy always means like within him. For example, we say Hashem Suri V'loy Avlos a boy. There's no Avos boy, but it's in him, in Hashem. Here again, the word boy means in him. V'loy Avlos a boy. There's no Avlo boy in him, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Loshen boy means in him. Here it should say the word. Here it should say Pel Be Adabra boy. Not I speak in him. Pel Be Adabra, right? I speak Imoy, with him. Yama Loshen. It says also Be Avdi Be Moshe. What should say Ba'avdi Moshe? Ba'avdi, right? Ba'avdi B'Moshe. Ba'avdi Moshe. My, what's the Ba'avdi B'Moshe? Now, Very Yadua. So first of all, Rabbi Chaim tells us something that is known, mentioned in quite a number of places, regarding the difference between the Nebuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nebuah of other Nevi'im. Chazal say, Besoy Perik HaKoyelus and Mesach HaJivomus. It's also by Medrash. Kol HaNevi'im Nistaklu Baspakleria She'ena Me'ira. When Nevi'im saw a vision, it was not a fully illuminated vision. In other words, it needed to be deciphered. The Navi had to actually decipher the message. It was not a very clear picture, sort of like a cloudy picture, that the Navi had to be able to see through it, and be able to bear the message. That was the way of the Navi. The revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed a Navi was not a very clear picture to have so much of a great connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the vision of the Navi, as great as the Navi was, his vision was not clearly illuminated. Moshe, and Yadon Moshe, Nistako Baspeklar Yahamiro. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw a vision in the book, it was very illuminated, very, very clear. That's one difference. Moshe Rabbeinu had a clear vision. Another difference. Yam Omru, Shchina Medaberes Mitagroine Shal Moshe. It was the Shchina that spoke out of the throat of Moshe, which is an incredible thing. Every Navi that spoke, he brought the message. It wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking through him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a message, and the Navi with his own voice gave over the message. The Navi with his own voice gave over the message. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, was as if the conductor of Hashem's voice speaking through Moshe. I'm going to just give you a lotion. Lahavdul, lahavdul, lahavdul. You have a radio, right? The radio can't talk, but yet you turn on the radio, you hear someone speaking. It's the voice of someone far away, the voice of that someone coming through that radio. It's not the voice, it's not the radio speaking. It's the person. Kibiyochel, lahavdul. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking through Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, it was Hashem speaking. Moshe Rabbeinu was the vehicle through which Hashem was speaking through his throat. That's a tremendous milah. And Navi, when he spoke with his own personage. He gave over the message that he received. But the Navi speaking with his own voice. He's speaking, the Navi is speaking. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking. He's speaking through Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the vehicle that carries through him, transmits through him, transmit to him the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now further, Ubizoyah, we find the Zohar and also the Medrash. We find, for example, quite a number of times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls on to the names of those that are beloved to him, he says, Vayoyim, says Avram, Avram. We find HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we find Yankiv, Yankiv. We find HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeats the names twice, or by Moshe Rabbeinu, twice. Interesting thing is, in the Pasuk where it says Avram, Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls upon Avram, Pesik Tame Begave. If you open up a Chumash, you'll see there's a line in between. There's a line, there's a hefsek. That's when the Baal Koireh, who is a Meduig Diga Baal Koireh, when he reads it, Vayom Avram, he pauses for half a second, Avram, not Avram, Avram. He pauses, Marisha. Why? To denote that there's a hefsek between the two. And the Adam of Moshe Rabbeinu also says, Moshe, Moshe, there's no hefsek. What's the difference? What's the difference? Why by Avram, Avram, there's a hefsek, there's a psik, there's a line in the middle to separate the two Avrams, and by Moshe Rabbeinu you don't have that. So again, Bazaar we find Avram, Avram, we find the psik tame. We find that psik tame, that there is a psik begave. Moshe, Moshe, loy psik tame begave. Asher bezeh merumaz lonu. Chazal here want to explain to us inya madregas Moshe. Chazal want to explain to us the madrega Moshe Rabbeinu. Echoyse yoyse nalum madregas Avram Avinu. You hear this? Old Shaila. Who is greater, Moshe Rabbeinu or Avram Avinu? And we'll get to that also to explain that a little bit better. But first, on the surface, as Reb Chaim is telling us, we find that the Torah wants to be meramis to us the madrega of Moshe that was greater than Avram Avinu, and ukum Moshe Omer Chazal say Godol Mashenema b'Moshe b'Mashenema b'Avram. That's what it seems, right? The Gemara is saying we find it's greater what we find by Moshe, what is said by Moshe, than said by Avram. In what way? The comparison is the Iru b'Avram, and Avram Avinu was expressing anivus, humility. Avram Avinu used the lashon v'nochi ofer defer. V'nochi ofer defer is very low. It's gevaldig onus. But ofer defer, right, happens to be matter. It happens to be a lowly matter. It's something. It's substance. So Avram Avinu says v'nochi ofer defer disturbs the metzias of substance. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he spoke about himself, v'nachnu mo, we are nothing, as if we are no substance at all. And then we'll be explaining that soon. But again, so you see that the difference in the lotion of Romarino Sevenoicha Ofer Vefer, so even though it's great humility, it's Gevalig Yanivis, tremendous Yanivis, but nevertheless, Ofer Vefer is something. It's a something. Moshe Rabbeinu says, v'nachnu mo. Moshe Rabbeinu is the lotion, v'nachnu mo. The Moshe Rabbeinu was zocher that the Torah was given to him. And just to explain that, the Tfes Yisrael actually on the Mishnayis in Ovis in the beginning, he says, Moshe kibul Torah Misinai. What does it mean? Moshe kibul Torah Misinai. Sinai was the lowest mountain of all the great mountains, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the owner of Nikolodon. So, a very essential miler to be the one worthy of Kabbalah Satayrit, you had to have a built-in midah of Anivus like Sinai was. Because Sinai is there to teach, Akash Baruch Hu, right, shows what's most important. What's most important is that the person should be an honor, should have humility, and that's the idea of Moshe Kibbul Torah Misinai, because Moshe himself was also an Onov. Moshe himself was an Onov, and therefore Anivus, which is the source of all the Midos, Anivus, which is the source of all the Midos, a person can be Zoichet to Torah, because Baruch will give him Torah. Fine. So now, so again, as Reb Chaim goes and he builds, as we go, he puts one brick on top of the other. So step by step. So first we find out there's a, between Avram and Avram, there's a Hefsik. There's a line. By Moshe, there's no line. We also find out that in Chazal there's an expression that God will Mashiach by Moshe. There's an aspect of Moshe that's greater than Avraham Avinu. There's an aspect of Moshe that's greater than Avraham Avinu. Now the question is to understand really what is the godliness of Moshe. The godliness of Moshe, and by the way, and that would explain why Moshe maybe doesn't have a line. We don't see the connection yet. But if Moshe in a certain sense is greater than Avraham Avinu, so Moshe doesn't have a line. Avraham does have a line. What is the connection? That stuff has to be explained. But we can sort of like figure, we can see where this is going. Because Avraham has a line, Moshe does not have a line. We see that Moshe is a certain madrega higher than Avraham, so Moshe does not have a line between the two Moshes. We still don't know what the line has to do with anything yet, but Kapodim, this is the Mahalach, this is the direction it's going. So now we start further. The Levi is there, Magdalus Shel Moshe Rabbeinu Behod Loi Posik Tamei Begavei. To understand what was the real godliness of Moshe, that there's no hefsek in his name. Hinei Yadu Ma'ashomu Razal. It is a dua what Chazal have told us on the Posik. It's a Gemara in Brochus. It's a Posik in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, Lechu Chazu Mifalois Hashem. Come and see, he says, the great accomplishments or achievements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can build, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can destroy it also. If people not worthy, then destruction. People do not behave properly. They're not worthy of life. The behavior does not justify that Hashem should give them life. They behave in a way that their existence is not justified. So it can be destruction. That's what the Pasuk says. Come and see the Mefalos Hashem, the Pu'ulas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are the Pu'ulas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Asher Som Shamois Boris. That he brought desolation. Shamois means Shemoma. Like Midbar Shemoma, Vistanish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought waste, destruction. That's the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Kam Chazal says, see the word Shamois, Shin Mom Vatsov. We can read it, Shamois. Shamois means names. Shamois means names. Al Tikra Shamois. So the Gemara, don't read the word Shamois, Elo Shamois. Come and see the Pa'ul Vakari Bahu. Kari Bahu incorporated names. What's the name? What's the difference? What's the name? Your name is Yankiv, Yashmul, Beryl, whatever your name is. What's the difference? Rav Chaim, it's a tremendous difference. It's a tremendous difference. Ki be'emes Hashem hu etzem ha'nefesh olodo. Because the truth is, the name is not just a name. It's not just a label. For example, you put a label on a bottle, right? The label is not part of the medicine inside the bottle. It's just a label. A name to a person is not just a label. The name, that is the genetic makeup of a person. The life force of a person is incorporated into the name. Kibbeh Hashem, the name, who etzem ha'nefesh olodom. What's the raya? Midachsev. We see how the Marisha went and he gave names to all the animals. What's the big deal? He decided to call a lion in Hebrew, Ari. We'll just use the English for him. Okay? So the lion is a lion. He said a lion is going to be an Ari, and a bear, he says, is a doiv. Would it be a real difference if he decided to call the lion, you're a doiv, and it says, the bear, you're an Ari? What's the difference? Once you have the label, so now you can know what's what. No! The names that were given, says Reb Chaim, or the Marishan had to be able to plummet to the depth, to the essence of each animal, what is his genetic makeup, and the name that he gave really describes, we don't understand the secrets behind that. It's like code, in code form. Or the Marishan might give me the name, in that name lies the entire mahus of that animal. In the name of a yid, in the name of a person, the entire koich achius is in his name. That's the chokhmah. The Torah says, oh, the Marishan went and he gave names. What's the big deal? Now, he didn't just give names arbitrarily. Each name to each animal, hey, you're a bird, you're this, you're that, is the Lashon Kodesh word. Of course, the Lashon Kodesh, the Tanya explains it, the Lashon Kodesh, it's serious, the Lashon Kodesh words, how it gives the Koyach Achius. So the Marishan understood clearly the panemius, the makeup of each individual animal, behemah, chai, v'oif, and based upon that, the name defines it. The name defines it. Let's take a look. It says, "Vikra adam shemos." It says, "V'chol asher yikra ha'adam nefesh chaya hu shemoi." The voice say, "Let's read the pasuk again." V'chol asher yikra ha'adam. Our Rishon gave names to nefesh chaya. Said with a lamed. Our Rishon gave names to all living beings. She said with a lamed. V'chol asher yikra ha'adam nefesh chaya hu shemoi. It doesn't say nefesh chaya. It says nefesh chaya. The lashon nefesh chaya kosher. Now, the name of our nefesh chayah, El Shadov Mevur, you know what it means? Shekliyas Hashem lohoye kifiha hizdamen. It's not what occurred to him. That's a fleeting thought. Okay, you're going to be a lion, you're going to be a wolf, you're going to be a this, you're going to be a camel. Well, that's a fleeting thought. Uba habob betrib shem bialme. Whatever came to his mouth, okay, he decided you'll be this and you'll be that. El kifi shirosh shirosh shoy boilom ha'elyon. Our origins are the shayrish, the root of each neshama, where it comes from, what's its genetic makeup, in the oil of Ma'elyon, in the upper worlds. Heichon achai nezchaz b'shoshoy. When you're alive now, you're alive because you're connected to the roots. When you cut something away from its roots, there's no life. The neshama is connected to its root in Shomayim. And therefore, the name basically depicts, he says, Ayyidei Tzirutzkein Korvay Hashem. The way he understood, that each neshama, where it's connected, how it's connected, that is the name that he gave. Ayyidei Tzirutzkein Korvay Hashem. Because the oysters basically reflect the root from where it comes from, in Shomayim. If the Tzirutzkein Korvay Hashem shall oyster oilam, sheboyach hizosoy, where it's connected with. Vezeh shomar. Listen to the pshat. Asher yikro yodom nefesh chayu shemoyo atzmi. In fact, that's the chiyus. The name is the nefesh chayu. The name is the chiyus. That is shemoyo atzmi. That is the etzem horiyoloi. Yidei tzerufe oisius. Because on the Marishan put together oisius, Ari is aleph resh yud. These oisius, aleph resh yud, come from the root. That's the upper world. The lion's koyach achius comes from a certain area in the oilam sol yoinim. And that's depicted by the name Ari. Okay, Yeshua Yodom, man is also like that. Shashemu Etzem HaNefesh Shaloi, HaNechad V'Shoshu Elin. So the name connects you to Yeshayush and Shemayim. We can't go further now, time is out. Let's look at the sheet. We have not completed the first thought, but we have now built, as we said, the Yesoid of Ezra Shem next week to go further on this Likudah. But we'll see in the sheet, Rabbi Isai, you'll take a look, the complement very beautifully what we have just learned now. So let's take a look at the sheet. So the cut of time over here, you know, but we're going to do it like this. look at number two, first of all. Number two, that's Evan source from Masor Salanter. He wants to explain. He says, the Emma says there's a contradiction. We just learned that from B'chaim. He brought down the Gemara Chul, who's greater, Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeah? So Masor Salanter brings down a Chazal B'Ferish that says not like that. Let's take a look. Because it's the middle of an essay, so this is the middle, just the crux, the point that Rav Sol Salanter wants to say. Number two, second item. Ubezer Yeshavnu says Rav Sol Salanter, say for Evan Yisrael, you see, it's Rush Zion. There's a stir between the Gemara and the Medrash. The Gemara Darshan, the Gemara we learn, God will Yosef Mimashinemra Bamashim, Mimashinemra Babrom. It's greater that which was said by Moshe than what is said by Abraham. Vilu ba Moshe k'siv v'nachnu mo. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Tan a bitul gomer b'metzias." Nachnu mo, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I'm nothing." What basically means is, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to say is, my only identity is that I'm connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not an independent being. I'm totally mevatel myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't have a Messias independently. I'm totally bottled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vavaram k'sev v'noichi ofra v'echer. Da'ani Messias ma, epes ha-Messias. Very little, but epes ha-Messias. Well, that's the difference. Now, so Salanta says, on the other hand, the Be'yalkut, look at the Medrash Yalkut, Yalkut Shemayni, Be'yalkut, he said, V'ish Moshe onav me'oid mikol odom. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest onav mikol odom, v'loi ovois. Means Moshe Rabbeinu's anivis was not greater than the ovois. The Gemara Chulon says, Moshe Rabbeinu was a bigger onav, because he said, v'nachnu mo, I'm nothing. Avraham Avinu said, I'm at least eifer, opera v'eifer. And yet, V'ish Moshe onav mikol odom, mikol odom, but not from the Ovois, which means that the Ovois, Moshe was not a greater onav than the Ovois, which seems to contradict the Gemara Chulon, that Moshe was a greater onav. How do you explain? V'imashu kusav k'liel niche. What I said above, of course, this is the middle of an essay, but he's going to explain now. So Salanter, based upon what he said before, Moshe Rabbeinu, ho yodea yoser gedulas habor yizbar shemoy. You know why? Not on his own. Hashem revealed, you know, as you say, the time has come. Avraham Avinu, because Baruch Hu in fact used it against Moshe. Moshe made a question that could have been remembered by Golos Mitzrayim. Lo mehara yoyse lo mazeh. To which Baruch Hu said, hey, well, all boys, I appeared to the others, I promised so many things, and they didn't question me when it didn't happen right away. And he says, what's the next word? Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lem. V'shem yudke vavke, that, in other words, to reveal, v'shem yudke vavke, that's tremendous revelation. Because Baruch revealed it to Moshe, but not to Avraham Avinu. So Baruch Hu said, I did not even reveal myself fully, and yet they didn't question me, right? So it means that Moshe Rabbeinu was zoche, right, to have a hasog in the Shem Hashem. So Mamela says the Pesach Salanter, Moshe Rabbeinu ha yedeya yoyse gedulis haboi yizbarach shemoi, shehereyu, because Baruch Hu showed him, v'gilu loy Hashem avayim, because Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, right, the Shem, the Dalet Oisius, Yudke Vavke, כמו שקוסף זה says אני הווי, אני השם וידעו לכם על מושה ויאמר אלו אני השם אבל אלו אובוי זה שמי השם לא נדעתי להם. So I want to ask you something. מושה רבנו, right, מושה רבנו, הקדוש ברוך הוא opened the door to him, he gave him the שם השם, so he saw more. אבל מבינו, with less information, knew as much as was possible without information. So it comes out like this, that Moshe Rabbeinu with less information would not be like Avraham Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the day happened to be maybe had more yedias than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and showed him more. But Avraham Avinu, who was shown less, amounted to more. And he gives a beautiful moshel. V'nei yesh beis minei godel. When you talk about greatness, there's two types of greatness. Either something is greater in quantity, or something is greater in quality. So there's two types of greatness. There's greatness in quantity and greatness in quality. He points out. He says, echad bekamus, one is quantity, and one is quality. Keep going. Give me a marshal. Let's say you have in front of you beis litrois kesef. You have 2 pounds of silver. Right? 2 pounds of silver in quantity is more than 1 pound of gold. But what's worth more? The gold. 1 pound of gold is worth more. So, if you talk quantity-wise, you have more silver. Right? You have more silver. If you talk quality-wise, gold. Quantity-wise, Moshe Rabbeinu had more yedias, quantity-wise, because Hashem showed him more. Quality-wise, Avraham Avinu. That's the Tosafot Salanter. That's the Chilik. So yeah, at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu had more because he was given more quantity. But quality-wise, Avraham Avinu had less because Baruch Hu did not reveal that much. And look how great he became. So Avraham Avinu was like the Zohov; he had less. So 1 pound of Zohov, he had less. Moshe Rabbeinu had 2 pounds of silver; he had more. More in what? More in silver. Yeah. So Moshe Rabbeinu had more in quantity. But Avraham Avinu had more, he says, in the quality. That's the Gevaldige, this is the insight of Sosa Lanter. Let's take a look. He says again, V'neyesh beis mina godel, echad bekamus v'echad beichus. One is in kamus, one is in quantity, right? Something's greater in quantity, and one is echus, that's quality. Can my base literally is kesef? Like you have, for example, you have 2 pounds of silver. Is gadol bekamus yoiser in quantity? In quantity, 2 pounds of silver is more than litra echod zohar, than 1 pound of gold. Avu beechus, but in quality, gadol yoiser ha litra zohar, mashnei litra is kesef. In quality, equality about it, the pound of gold is much more. Kishavim habi Yosef. The chen kan. Now look at the punchline. Said we saw something there. Anivis Moshe hoisa gedoyle Yosef bekamus mabron. In kamus, so to speak, in quantity. Vanachnu mo. Avu beeches, equality wise, godle Yosef anivis Avram. Why? Kime Moshe en gedule kokach. Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't be given so much credit for his anivis. Yeah, he had more anivis, but shouldn't be given credit. If he sees that Kodesh Baruch Hu to such an extent, he becomes more mortal. He becomes more mortal. Ki memoshe in gedula kol kach hamagia elan v'sinusoy ki hu hisig ha begedulis ha'boyiz boshoy. He had privy. He had privy to seeing and receiving so much revelation from Kodesh Baruch Hu. But from Avinu godel yoyser ha'levuse. Avraham may have had less because the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't reveal that much to him. But that's what he had is a much bigger deal. That's a big Avraham Goru Yosef Haravusa, the Chiddush. Sha'af Shaloi Yidi Yolai Hashem Kol Kach Gudolosoi Yizbar Shemoi Abriken Hoye On of Goru. So therefore Rabbi Isai, so again this whole Shai Moshe Rabbeinu greater. See, not such a simple thing how to touch up who is really greater, because you see it depends on how you look at it, which aspect you look at it, there's quantity and there's quality and so on and so forth. This is how Reb Sol Salanter understands the relationship in terms of the balance between Moshe Rabbeinu and Avraham Avinu. So let's go a little further now. And you'll see something very fascinating. What Rav Chaim Volozhin just taught us about the name of a person, that is the essence of the person. That's the Nefesh Chayu Hu Shemoi. That is what he is. Nefesh Chayu Hu Shemoi. The name is not a label. It's that what he is. Vayikro Moshe. This is Rav Chaim Shmulevich in the Sefer Sichas Musa Parshas Vayikro. Mirosh Yeshiva. Fascinating, fascinating. Vayikro Moshe. Everybody knows Moshe Rabbeinu's name, of course, is Moshe. We also know who gave him the name Moshe, Basi Basparoi. Why? Because why can she pull them out of the water? Moshe means to pull out. Pull them out. Okay. On the Chazal, come Chazal. Esser Shem is Nikru LeMoshe. Moshe had 10 names. Chazal said the truth is Moshe Ben had 10 names. We're not going to dwell too much on it. Just go quickly. Yered, Chover, Yikusil, Avigdor, Avisoichoi, Avizenuach, and so on. He's called Yered. Why? Because Shehoyered is HaTorah. Yered means he brought down, he descended. He brought the Torah down to Klal Yisrael. He's called Avigdor. It's a makeup of 2 words. Avim Shel Goyvim. He was the father of making fences. See that ye're not protected. See not protected that you do not assimilate. That ye didn't keep their identity. Avigdor. Avi, he was the father of Gedor, of making fences, protecting the Jewish people. He was called Chaver. Why? Chaver Moshe Chibur. Shechiber es abonim lavim shel shemayim. He was the conduit. He connected the Yidden to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on and so forth. Fine. Now, look at the next paragraph. Then Yidden Hashem. What is the idea of a name? What does the name mean? The name is it. Letayer is clear to describe. Ulahagdir es mehusoy shladoro vechusoy. Mamish what Reb Chaim Volozhin said just a moment ago, Reb Chaim. The name describes the mehus, the essence, the quality of the person. Be fine. And so on. Let's go to the next paragraph, because we see further. Chochma zu. This chochma, because Reb Chaim brings it in the middle, because one takes some time here. Chaim in the middle, how the mission gave names, says, you are a shor, you are an ox, he says, and you are an oif, you are a bird, and you give the name, you are a chamor, you are a sus, you are a gomel, and so on and so forth. Chokhmazu, next paragraph. Chokhmazu says, so kriyas shame ledovon, ki chokhmel yoino. It's a heavenly chokhmo. Lemalim the chokhmas hamalochim. Because a malach also is not able to discern the total depth and the genetic makeup of an individual. Ki shmoy shel adovon, because the name of a person, hu ha'agdora. That is the definition. The name of a person is the definition, hamematze. Which basically squeezes out as called Mehusoi Vinyonoi. The name capsulizes. The name capsulizes the total Mehus of a person. Who is able to know all the details. All the details. All the so-called seemingly unimportant, the total makeup of a person. You have to have a Chokh Molyoini. You have to have a heavenly wisdom for that. So if the name, Rabbi Yisai, this is what Rabbi Chaim says so beautifully. If the name of a person basically describes the essence of a person, Moshe Rabbeinu was so multifaceted that one name could not describe his essence.
You know what?
Every time a name is a name, big deal. Give him one name. The name is not just a name. The name describes the essence of a person. Moshe Rabbeinu's dimension, the tremendous, right, the personality of Moshe Rabbeinu, of all the various aspects of Moshe Rabbeinu, one name would not be able to do justice to describe. He needed 10 names. 10 names, says Reb Chaim. V'imdai l'chol abruim b'shem echol. If all creatures, it's enough one name, you're called a camel, you're called a chamor, right? If it's die, ashuboy bo'ol l'day bitri kol mehusom, one name is enough to describe the whole mahus. Harei l'moishu abeyo, haye eser shemois, k'day levate u'lahakiv his good losoi. In order to clearly bring out his name. Now, v'amu chazal, if that's the case, so now the question is, so Moshe Rabbeinu, right, his character, he was so multifaceted, so many details in the essence of Moshe, needed 10 names. So question, so why is it called only Moshe? So why do we call him Moshe? V'amu chazal. V'amu ekodi baruch ala Moshe, here in the bottom. Chayecho, because Baruch Hu says, as if to say, I swear to you. V'kol shem v'shiyesh lecho. From all the names that you have, eini karacho, I will not call you only el b'shem shekaros chobasi bas paroi. Tatikra shema Moshe. I'm going to call you by the name that Basi bas paroi gave you. You have 10 names. It's a lot to choose. But the name that I'm going to call you, the name that us, our relationship, I'm going to call you the name that Basi bas paroi gave you. Vayikra el Moshe, as the Pasuk says. This week's parasha. Vayikra, this week's, I mean, the parasha that we started here. That's parasha of Vayikra. Vayikra Moshe. The Yeshua is Boinen, says Reb Chaim, that what we have to ask ourselves, Tati, there's 2 questions. Number one, what's so special about the name that Basi Bas Paro gave? Of all names, right? What name? Why is he calling the name? By the way, you know what the name means? I pulled you out of water. What significance does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu walks around with a name, he was pulled out of water. Mabakach. That's a part of it, it's a history. What's the significance of that name? He says, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the name, he says, Ma Mosa Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Shem Zeh, what Kodesh Baruch Hu find in that name? Yeser Al Shah Shem Moisef Shal Moshe. Shalachayre, by the way, the other names seem to depict much greater. Yered, he brought down the Torah. Chodeh, he's Mechaber of the Jewish people. All the names bring out greater gods. Moshe means he was pulled out of water. So what? So of all the significant names which seem to describe the true Midas of Moshe, we're not calling him by that name. We're calling by the name that Basim has pulled you out of water. So what? The second question. The name is supposed to describe the person, right? That name was Basim Basparo gave. That's what she did. Basim Basparo is calling him Moshe because I pulled him out of water. So how's describing Moshe? Moshe was at the other end. He was at the receiving end. Moshe is what she did. She did the pulling. So how does the word Moshe describe what he is? The name doesn't describe what he is. Moshe described what she did. Hazishtim to the whole idea of a name. He says, Hare Haroya Shem Ze Enem Siachesis L'Moshe Klal. They're calling the Moshe, it's not connected to Moshe, it's not relating to Moshe. El L'Maisa Ha'atzola Shobasi Bas Paroi. It's connected to the acts, right, of Ha'atzola, that she saved him. As it says, V'atikra Shemai Moshe. Why? V'atoyim V'kimina Meshoai Mishesu Kapil Mara Water. So why is he called Moshe? It's something that she did. Go to the top of the sheet. V'nei Eloi Vai. Listen to what he says. You know why it's called Moshe? Because what she did, in order for her to do what she did, was an act of Mesiras Nefesh. She was defying power. She was defying the Gzeira of her own father. She was defying. Power made Gzeira, called a Ben Ayod, every Jewish baby boy, male boy, is that supposed to be? Right? She died. She goes. So what she did, he says, Ki Mishiyosu Shol Moshe Ben Amayim, pulling Moshe out of the water, Hoysa Ayodei Mesiras Nafshe Shol Basio. She overall mitzvah of Yoshua was over on her father's commandment. Now look what he says. This is a clever Reb Chaim says many times. Nu so what? Moshe was saved from Mesiras Nefesh. These next 2 lines, this is crucial. The kivin shatzolas Moshe hoysa de meisa shenaisa Mesiras Nefesh. Moshe Rabbeinu's hatzola came through Mesiras Nefesh. Nichnas koyach zeh shal Mesiras Nefesh begufa benafshe shal Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mesiras Nefesh that she did, pulling Moshe out, that Koyach HaMesiras Nefesh was absorbed by Moshe. Moshe now becomes a Mesiras Nefeshid. It's a tremendous idea that he develops from many eras, and he proves it with his Gevaldik Bekiyas. If something is a vehicle, right, of Mesiras Nefesh, that vehicle becomes infused with that power. She acted with Messias Nefesh to pull Moshe out. That Koyach of Messias Nefesh, which Moshe was the vehicle of that Messias Nefesh, that Koyach went into Moshe. Nechnas Koyach Zesh of Messias Nefesh Begufoy Benafsh of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it was that Messias Nefesh, Koyach Messias Nefesh, Hoyo Moshe, Hoyo, Ayidei Messias Nefesh, Obasibas Paroi. So the name Moshe does depict him. Because now Moshe becomes infused with tremendous power of Messias Nefesh. The act of Messias Nefesh that this she did with Moshe, now Moshe Rabbeinu himself becomes a person who is tremendously, he's charged, spiritually charged with Messias Nefesh. Moshe Rabbeinu now becomes a Messias Nefesh. Now look further. He says, so Moshe, say the next 2 minutes, go down three, four paragraphs, Umashe Bochar. It was a little hefsek, we say a little bit more, bigger hefsek. Go down three paragraphs. Umashe Bochar. Now you should understand that the Baruch chose the name Moshe over all the other names. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to be a leader. More than any quality that a leader should have is to have Messias Nefesh for his flock. There's no greater quality. You can say he's a big Chochom, he's a big that, he's a that. Of all the numbers, right? The top of the list. The quality, the biggest and the most important, the most chashuv quality of a leader is to have Messias Nefesh. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is going now into history, right, of becoming the Goel Israel, to become those who are going to save and take the Yid out of Mitzrayim, he's going to be the... He needs the name Moshe, what Moshe depicts, means to have Messias Nefesh. Why could Moshe choose the name Moshe? What is required, Mimanhigam Shel Yisrael, what's the Iker what's required? Messias Nefesh, I will call Yochid V'Yochid. For each individual. By the way, many times a leader, right, his vision is saving the flock at large, but he loses sight of the individuals. You know, he looks at the public. He looks at the koyach of a manig Yisrael is not to lose sight of the protein, not to lose sight of the individuals, because a klal is built on protein. Each prat is mixed up as a part of the klal, and manig Yisrael is not to have Messias Nefesh only for the klal. Manig Yisrael has Messias Nefesh for every individual also. Sign up to say, okay, for the cloud, let a few be lost here and there. The cloud should be saved. That's not enough. It's not enough that the cloud should be saved. Mani Yisrael has to have Messias Nefesh for each yochid, for each individual. Hashem Meir, and that's why the name Moshe, Meir, it's Meir, Al Tchun Ezu. Now, look here then. Roye Umanig Hador. Somebody who is a shepherd and he is a Manig Hador, so Achli is Doyeg L'chol Echad V'chot. That defines a leader. Defines a leader, someone who worries about the welfare of each individual. Umesapik Esrochov, and sees that he gets his needs. Shall call Echol the Pikotov, say as much as you can do it. As defined by Yeshua. What is the Hashem when Yeshua is supposed to take over from Moshe Rabbeinu? Yitkol Hashem HaShabayin, he says, please, he knows he's leaving the world. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, please appoint someone. What kind of a leader? Moshe Rabbeinu said, my successor. Ish Asheruach Boy. What means Asher Ruach Boy? Uperish Ashi? She yochol lahalach keneged rucho ishkol echad vechad. It's not enough you're a leader for the tzibur. It's not enough that you're a leader for the klal. The kol echad v'echad, says Rashi. That's what's required. It required is who's able, I can imgai metala mention. That's Vishat. She yochol lahalach keneged rucho ishkol echad vechad. He ain't die bashpoa kloli salador. It's not enough he has a general hashpoa on the entire generation. General is not enough. Individual hashpah on each individual person. And let's talk about hatim is anhoge, and he has to keep changing his anhoge. And that's two passes in anhoge to every yochid. That's what he says. So hatim is anhoge im kolach levechot boivim proti. If you ruch over koyach, according to that individual, the koyach zeh. And to have that koyach, to have that ability, you have to have Messias Nefesh. Without Messias Nefesh, it's not possible that a Malik Yisrael should be able to be able to focus on each individual. Then you have to have Messias Nefesh. That's the name Moshe. Moshe, the name Moshe comes out of Messias Nefesh. And more than all the names and all the miles that Moshe Rabbeinu might have had, what describes the true essence of a leader is the name Moshe. And we're finishing right now. Three lines more on Boisai. That's the midah that Moshe Rabbeinu had even before he was chosen to be sent to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu grows up in the house of Paroi. So of course he was not in the Shibut. He was not being Meshubut. He had three. Go here and there. Vayetze El Echov, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to see his brothers. Vayar B'Sivloisom, and he sees their burden. Say Chazal, Hoyeroye B'Sivloisom Meboiche. Listen to this, behind the scenes. Moshe Rabbeinu used to cry. He has freedom. He can go out free to come. He's a ben bais, right? He's a child of power. He grows up in the highest house of power. He sees the burden of the Yidden. Know what he says? Look what he says. Chavali aleichem. It pains me. It pains me. Meyiten Moshe aleichem. Halavai, I've been in your place. Have I been in your place? Meyiten Moshe, I'll die in your place. Meyiten Moshe aleichem. And he goes on to point out, She'erucho melocha koshim emlecha sati. Cement is very heavy. Rashi says, the Chazal, there's nothing which is more kosher than Melech HaSatit. You work with cement. Moshe Benu would see that the Yidden who never could, the buckling under, he would put his shoulder, where you're nice and safe of, that is before he was chosen as a leader. Because that's what makes up a leadership. That's what leadership is all about. Vayad is of loisam, says Rashi. You know what Vayad means? Everybody can see. Vayad does not mean stump to see. Nosan Einov, the Libo Elias, makes her alayim. The Gansen Kopf, the Gansen Messias. That's what Luda is all about. And that's what the name of Moshe is about. That's what Chaim says, the name of the Rishon gave is not some name, it's not some label. It defies and clearly describes the Etzem Messias Adover. Moshe Rabbeinu's name described Messias Nefesh, that's what Moshe is about. But Hashem, next week we'll continue with the thought of Rabbeinu to finish up.